Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide, and that you have much to deal with with each of us. And I'm grateful, Lord, you don't just treat us all alike, but that you have specific things that we are to listen to and be obedient to. Help us, Lord. Most of us know what we need to do. We just don't do it. So work with each of us, Lord, and be our teacher this morning. And anyone that's come here with a heavy load, I pray that they might be able to leave that at your feet and go home much lighter. Encourage us, Lord. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you'd like to open up to Daniel, you can kind of follow along so you can figure out I'm not teaching heresy. But I wanted to give you a few King Nebuchadnezzar reigned over Babylon from 605 to 562. He is by far the most significant Gentile king. I had just forgotten all that. Just kind of didn't even look at the kings, forgetting that Nebuchadnezzar was the first Gentile king to rule over Israel. And that we already have studied. He's mentioned about 90 times in Scripture and by the biblical writers. So God refers to Nebuchadnezzar as my servant. He's also called the lowest of men. Interesting. You're going to think he's really neat this week, and next week you're not going to think he's so neat. But there you go, the lessons. But I think it's neat that he calls him his servant, because he's going to be doing God's will. And then at other times, he's the lowest of men. And that should encourage our hearts, because there are the lowest of men about that really need, a boost to get with them, with the Lord and with themselves. And even God can use the lowest of men. So we could just switch that, the lowest of females. We're not going to go there. Okay. Remember, it was Nebuchadnezzar who constructed the famous hanging gardens. And eventually they're going to be their undoing, because that's how the enemy's going to get a hold of Babylon. But that was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And why did he build those hanging gardens? Because he had a wife that was homesick for her home and wanted to see flowers and green hills and the rest of it. And so he went to all this trouble to build this for her. And I kind of like to give a positive thing once in a while, because we have a tendency to look at all the negative. Well, a lot of people, including myself, believe that Nebuchadnezzar's dream here, recorded in Daniel 2, is the most awe-inspiring dream in the Bible. I agree with that, because it's all prophecy. We kind of lump over that because so many of them have taken place. But when we get down to the toes, those haven't taken place yet. So, and he predicts four successive empires to come, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then at the very end, it's the reconstruction of the Roman Empire at the end of time. I sometimes just read along and I think, man, that was 2,600 years ago. Wow. And it still hasn't taken place. Doesn't that just kind of give you chills? It's amazing. God went to so much trouble so that you and I today could study this and realize the fragility of government. I wish somebody had told me a long time ago that all governments are going to go down. I wouldn't have struggled so hard with some of the news facts that we pick up every day. This is all by design. And then it pictures, just think of this, written 2,600 years ago, and now it pictures Christ's kingdom reigning over the whole earth. Yeah, that's just astounding. Well, with this came the foretelling of Nebuchadnezzar was the foretelling of his own kingdom's destruction. You know, I thought, why doesn't he turn around and kill off poor Daniel? You know, but Daniel's telling him, one day your head of gold will be gone. Well, so he preserved in the prophetic word of God, this dream is also a message to every earthly kingdom that no human kingdom is permanent. Every kingdom will fall before the coming of the kingdom of the Lord. Doesn't that make you feel a little better? No. Well, the image was perfectly proportioned, powerfully built. And do we have that on the, no? Okay. Well, you got a big...
They got it in their hand, though.
Okay. If you really look at it for a while, you'll see how perfectly proportioned it is and powerfully built. Its face... is very noble and godlike, and of course his head is very much in the Babylonian style. Have you ever seen old pictures of Babylonians? They have these little curls. I don't know if they had to be set or whether they were born that way, but even their beard had those little, think how long he'd have to be in the salon to get that done. Anyway. But it was of the purest gold. My first reaction to that statue was, how in the world could it stand up? Because the heaviest was at the top. Now, as a child, you'd love it because you could just knock those people down and you'd win the war. Now, the king was trembling as Daniel was explaining this to him, because, indeed, it worried him. And he loved the head, and of course the head turns out to be him. And then the shoulders and the chest and the upper arms were formed in silver. And as you know, silver is not as heavy as gold. But it was bright and shining. And then the belly, and I don't think it's thighs, but the writers of words use the word thighs. I think it's his rear end, were made of rich bronze. Anyway, I can't be too serious. The knees and the calves consisted of forged iron, and those were definitely the legs. And then this mottled substance at the bottom was the feet, and it had a mixture of iron and clay. As they stared at the statue, a rumbling from the distant mountains began. It was a great invisible hand that cut away the rock and sent down boulders cascading down the slopes. And in a minute, this wonderful statue was destroyed. Gold, silver, didn't matter what it was made into dust. It was crushed by this big rock. And of course, then you say, well, what was that? What was that doing? And where did that come from? But see, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the rock. And there were, I felt, more verses I could have given you to look up that. But just remember, he's bigger and better. And no one seemed to mourn this figure being ground up into dust. They just seemed to take it. And then a sudden windstorm just simply took it all the way away. And the plain was empty. But the stone didn't dissolve. Just think about these things. But it began growing, and soon it covered the entire earth. And this included us in this. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar then, that's when he woke up. Daniel said, screaming. I'm sure that's what he said. that was your vision. What does it mean? And of course, these things were all future to Daniel and to Nebuchadnezzar, except for the gold head. It means to us that no earthly kingdom lasts forever. After your time, and after Babylon, would be really what he's saying, it will fall and another will take its place. And then after that, then it will be another form of government. And that doesn't sound too settling to you, but I wish I had a better map. I'll show it on both sides. This is the Mediterranean Sea. Babylon encompassed everything from the Euphrates River up north, Turkey, and came all the way over here. Now, the only kingdom that's bigger would be Rome. Rome was slaughtered and went broke and brought everybody back as slaves, just about. And physical life meant nothing, but it was a huge territory. So when you're reading that the next territory is Medo-Persia, well, they come in and they take over. So that might help you get a little visual aid for that. And why Daniel? Now, he's prophesying all this because they haven't seen it come to pass yet. As you can see with the years, you did look up the years that they were in power. Notice the Roman Empire is perhaps the longest. But they just fell apart. And it's a little bit of history there. It makes a lot of difference. So the stone, or the final kingdom that's coming, is the climax of history of the world. Do you know that I feel that we're really on the border of it? Who knows? But one will demolish and replace every kingdom by mankind. But the Lord's will fill the earth. It will never be destroyed, and it never comes out of anything else, like your figure. All these came out of something else. The Mid-Persian Empire came out of Babylon, and then the Greek came out of Medo-Persia, and then the Roman came out of that, and it's basically all the same territory, with give or take in places. But this stone that's coming, it's mentioned 7 times in Scripture. Remember the nation of Israel. Israel stumbled over that stone. And they've really paid a huge price ever since. But Christ is the rock on which the church is built. And on that rock is our faith. So you can feel a lot more comfortable. Supernatural. It will be a supernatural kingdom made without hands. And I thought, well, man can make bricks, but man cannot make stones. No, I know that's dumb. But when you begin to think about that rock is Christ. And so it's made without hands. It's a sudden kingdom. It comes suddenly. And it won't emerge out of anything else. It'll be the stone. It's not man-made. And it'll be a severe kingdom because the message is one of severity. It's coming in judgment. And then it's a sovereign kingdom. It fills the whole earth, can you imagine, with his presence and power and glory. You ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Probably all the time. You don't even think about it. Thy kingdom come. Now, you'll be saying that a lot. Thy kingdom come. And it's a successful kingdom, unlike the ones that we looked at in our lesson today. It will endure forever. He's the king who has no successor. It's all, others have tried it. Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, and they went for absolute power, and they were all man-made, and they killed a lot of people, but they're gone today, aren't they? Praise God. From the ruins of another came the next empire, or nation, or however you want to call it, country, until you get down to the very end where it's the toes that are made out of clay and iron. And I was studying that and thinking, I wonder what that means. I wonder if the reason they don't hold together, because clay is fragile and iron is not, but I wondered if that, is that a religious get-together that can't quite make it, such as Muslims and Christians? I don't know. I don't know. Or is it nationalities? We've had trouble with nationalities ever since, ever since I can remember. So maybe it's that. That gives you something to think about. It'll come with a sudden blow. There are other places you can read, Zacharias 14, Matthew 24, Revelation 1:7, and it all confirms this. I believe today we're on the threshold of that age to come. Now that should make you happy. The days of human rule on earth are nearly over. You can see it. Nobody knows how to rule anything, let alone themselves. So, and or arrive without human hands. This isn't a time to be discouraged or depressed that the end of the earthly kingdom will come soon. Be elated. The glorious kingdom of Christ will soon begin. I hope that makes you feel a lot better. Basically, when I finished this lesson, I thought, man just doesn't know how to rule himself. That's the bottom line. He's just waiting until we see that. It's getting interesting. Getting interesting. I'm going to read you something from... this should encourage you today. If it doesn't, you can throw tomatoes next week. Let's see. This is from David Jeremiah's book, and he sums it up so well. And we're not political here, but some gals really need something to hang on to. It's tough going. Confidence, what a wonderful way to live. Undaunted, unshaken. Does that sound like you? When we look at the culture around us, it's easy to fall into despair. But when we keep an eye peeled above, we don't have to spend our time gripping or grappling with hopelessness. Daniel didn't lose heart. You know, he would think about it every once in a while. Think of what they did to him. they just mutilated him, and yet he's still serving them. He evaluated everything with the end in mind and stayed calm and confident under stress. Confidence is a uniquely biblical attitude that affects all we do in the public arena. So, here it is. Number one, when surveying the political landscape, be confident. Remember that you have a way to influence things through prayer. In a moment of crisis, Daniel and his companions sought mercies from God of heaven, and the rest of the chapter unfolds in answer to their prayers. Number two, when casting your vote, be confident. If elections don't go your way or judicial decisions disappoint you, remind yourself that God is unaffected. He removes kings and raises up kings according to his plan. I'll just interject here. Just look at the word history. Just separate it. His story. And there you've got it. He's in charge. Number three, when hearing news of catastrophes and instability on earth, be confident. Remember, there is a God in heaven. When you feel discouraged about the course of world affairs, don't lose heart. One day, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Number four, when you think all is lost, think again. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. We know the script in advance. We know it in advance. Not just Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, but we all know. We know the script in advance, and we're clued in to the ending. Yeah, we know how it ends. Having studied this chapter in Daniel, we now can know a divine secret, the framework of all of history, including its conclusion. So goodbye insecurity, goodbye fearfulness. These are days that call for boldness. This is the time to be confident in him who has begun a good work in us. This is the time to pray, thy kingdom come. What an amazing thing, Lord. I've just talked to so many people that are rather frantic about our future. And yet, Lord, we're reminded through this amazing lesson written so long ago that you're in charge and that you are bringing things about. We don't understand it, but we know this, that you are in charge. Help us to be bold, Lord, to be confident, to know that maybe it isn't going the way we want, but perhaps there's a much bigger plan here that we don't see. Thank you that you spoke to Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and that you brought to pass all of those empires and that you're still working. We long for the day we'll be with you, thy kingdom come. Help each lady, Lord, to come to grips with this and be encouraged by it, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.